I came prepared for everything. I got notes, Bible on here, and then I've got it on here. So maybe between all of this, maybe I can get this like this. There we go. I told my wife this morning, I said, I got the notes, I'll have the thumb drive, and I'm carrying my laptop. And she says, if all else fails, you got it up here. I said, I know got it up here. I forgot about that. So anyway, we're going to see if all of this works together. I hope so. And I don't know if this does any good or not, but I'll turn it on. I never had a microphone in the pulpit in rural Alabama until I guess I'd been preaching for 30 years, and it like to scared me to death when the church there finally decided to get one. And they said, calm it down. And I said, okay. Anyway, we want to talk tonight about, let's see. Well, it went blank. I know gotta. Okay, now then. Here we go. We're going to be talking tonight this morning, about something that I think that all of us are carrying. I know that we don't like to admit sometimes that we're carrying heavy weight. We would like to say, hey, I'm fine. Everything is lovely. But And we generally tell that to another person. How are you today? Oh, I'm doing fine. And I have found over the years that on further discussion with that person, that individual, you find that they have some heavy weight. They are struggling in order to carry what they have through this life. And I have found that it sometimes gets almost more than we can bear, day in and day out, the load that we are carrying. And a lot of times I'll talk to these people, well, why don't you let God help you with that load? Well, it thrilled me to death to see my son and grandson up here a while ago. As he was saying, we live in such an age where we think that some new 1,000 gigabyte storage or appliance will help us lift our load. But in the end, only God can help us. Only God can remove or make that load bearable. And when we don't let him help us, maybe it's because we really don't trust God. And so we're going to look at that briefly this morning. In the heavy weight that we carry, and I have looked at this for many, many years, and it's one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. And you see my pages coming out. Is over in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. And the Hebrew writer there said, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance. Now, I have King James Version, and it says weight. But weight, in the original Greek, is an encumbrance. Something that would hinder us, maybe an untied shoelace, or maybe we have the training weight still hooked to our ankle, Maybe it's rocks. Now, I understand the ancient Greek athletes, they would run these races barefooted and sometimes with very little clothing on. But you wanted to see that you had a clear path. And so when the writer here said that we are to put aside, lay aside every encumbrance, and then he became plainer, and the sin. This encumbrance is counted as a sin which so easily entangles us. And I have found that to be so true in my own personal life. Oh, Satan is laying out there, in our neck of the woods, just like a snake. And he is hidden, and I don't know how many times I've almost stepped on snakes in the South, but it just took 1 second for me to jump sideways. I became very adept at that. But Satan is, he is lying there, and he wants to bite us. He wants to entangle us so that we become sinners. We lose the race, we stumble, we don't finish, or we finish last, and we don't receive the crown of righteousness. So he states, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, this has several different words in it that I want us to look at this morning and go over and see if we can understand better what the Hebrew writer is talking about. I've got my program here and here. So let me make sure I get the next slide. There we go. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and the operable words here are outline in green, that, let me go back, in green for you, and they are, let us lay aside every weight and let us run with endurance. Now, the word encumbrance, according to the figure of a racer who puts away everything which may hinder his running. And we find that in this day and age, that is drugs. You know, during our last Olympics, at the beginning, the whole Russian team, racing team, among others, was forbidden to go to Rio. Now they, I guess politics got involved, and Mr. Putin, and they allowed some, but not all could race. Why? They had took drugs to enhance their performance. And that is not allowed. Well, if we take something else besides the Word of God, we're going to be encumbered. And we're going to find our feet shackled with the weight of the world and its take on religion. And there are thousands of different doctrines, different takes on the Word of God. And some of them are quite scary. But we have to take those from around our feet And we have to make sure we are using the Word of God and the pattern that it sets forth. And so every worldly and hindrance that would cause us to become ensnared, we have got to put that away and run the race with endurance. Well, when we look at the word encumbrance, and here we have the ideal of a racer, and where instead of losing the race, that racer can lose their soul. Now that, to me, you know, we find so many people are heartbroken because they didn't place in a race. We saw at the Olympics, Mr. Bolt, he still is the fastest man alive in the 100 meters and a couple of others that were short races, but very difficult. That's wonderful. He got the crown, the medal. But what the Hebrew writer here is talking about is getting the crown of life. And we'll look a little bit later on. Paul, he mentioned this crown of life over in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Wonderful passage there. I want what Paul got. I want that crown of life. Not some worldly crown that is going to perish and get dust and tarnished. I want that which cannot be lost. Well, here again, we look how we can do this. When we look at weight in the spiritual light, we've seen that it means hindrance. Not necessarily, as Paul pointed out to the Corinthians, as sinful, but it's certainly not helpful to us. Not helpful to us. I can remember a guy, a businessman, calling me and wanted to set up a business meeting with me at one of the Holiday Inns. And I said, okay, I'll meet you in the lobby. And they had a restaurant there. And he said, oh, no, meet me at the bar. Well, certainly if I had gone there, I wasn't going to take a drink. Alcoholic drink. I might have had a glass of water, but even that would have looked bad. I said, no, let's meet out here. You know, we have to, and Paul made the statement to this, to the Corinthians, we have to flee the very appearance of evil. We have to, as Christians, we have to watch where we are and who we're with. I can remember back home an elder. He went on one of these first cruises that they had. And he was walking around this huge cruise ship. Now, I've never been on one. But they tell me that everywhere you go, just about it, there's a slot machine. And so I guess he had just stood it as long as he could stand it. And he decided, well, I'm going to put a dollar in this slot machine and just see what it does. The moment he reached and got the handle, there came a member of his church. Didn't even know that he was on there. He certainly didn't know that she was on there. And of course, it caused the church to suffer. The person who was also a Christian didn't act right. Instead of going to the elder and saying, hey, it was spread everywhere. The church suffered because of that. But my point is, somebody's going to be watching. When you least expect it, that's when the encumbrance, that's when the weight, that's when Satan is going to reach out and grab you. If we desire to finish, then we need to shed the weight. I thought about whether or not to use that because my doctor tells me to do that all the time. Shed the weight, Charles, shed the weight. I'm trying. But spiritually, certainly we don't need to be carrying around any extra poundage of sin or anything that would hinder us from competing in the spiritual race for life. The key is, as Jesus told his listeners over in Matthew 6 and 21, is our desire. What do we value the most in life? Is it the things of this world that Jesus pointed out? Or is it a heavenly home with Him? What is our desire? Do we desire money? Do we desire what we can lay up in store? Or do we desire and value that eternal home more? Well, again, we find that in John 12, 42 and 43, listen to what happened as John recorded it to some individuals who loved Jesus, but not enough, who allowed their social position to come between them and Him. And so John recorded, nevertheless, even after Jesus had made His plea, even after Jesus had done His miracles, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him, but, and oh, that's a big, I'm telling you, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Who were the Pharisees? Oh, they were the rich people. They were the bankers. They were the lawyers. They were all of those who were of any influence whatsoever. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Do we find that there are individuals like that? Maybe we find that when somebody, as James portrayed over in James 3, when there's a poor man that comes in, what do? Oh, I don't see him. I don't see him. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to talk to them. James says, you better watch it. I can remember when I was a kid, there was a World War II veteran, and he sat on the streets of Russellville with his back up against one of the local businesses there, wall, and his both legs were gone. They were blown off by a landmine. But he had got one of those mechanic things you lay on, and they have four wheels, it's flat, And that's before any kind of electric wheelchair, but he could scoot up and down them sidewalks with his hands. But he would sit there. He didn't beg money. He would sit there, and he had a coffee can, and it was full of pencils. And every time Dad and I would get out of the car, Dad would go up, and he would buy a handful of pencils. Introduce me to him. And finally, I got to know him myself. Of course, he's dead and gone. But that's one of the beautiful things about helping special needs children. You know, I hate to think that I was ever like that. I think my dad taught me better. But you know, you see something, somebody in a wheelchair, and maybe they have spittle dropping down onto their chin. Oh, man, can't stand that. Would you welcome them? What if it was your job? You take a Kleenex and you go over there and wipe that away and you say, "Hon, let me watch you here. If you have any more, I'll take care of it." We don't need to care about the praise of men. It is fleeting. One day they will praise you. Tomorrow they'll condemn you. What we need to be worried about is the praise of God. The praise of God. Oh God, I'm thankful. Oh God, I care. God cares for us. You know, there, and I can remember, and we're talking about elders here, and I'm not misusing this, but after over 40 years of preaching, I've got several of them, but there was another elder that Jenny and I knew very, very well. One of the large congregations there in town. Oh, wonderful man. Wonderful man. Had a wonderful wife. Both of them were in school, education. We had both of them at some point. And his first wife died. He worked with a woman at one of the local credit unions. And soon they began dating. Oh, she was a big wig in the local Methodist church. People started going and pointing out to him, if you remarry, you have to marry in the Lord. He married her. And it wasn't a couple of years he was singing in the Methodist choir. I don't care how high you are. We can fall. And we need to make sure that we don't give in and that we don't become swell-headed. Oh, when we hear the praise of men. You're doing a good job, Charles. It was wonderful. Oh, I just love the way you do that. And our heads just sort of, what we need to do then, right then is say, God, help me. And say to ourselves, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't have done it without you. before I got up here, sitting right over there, I said, God help me this morning. I know Denny probably does that every morning also when he gets up. God help me to present this lesson in a manner that will help your people learn more of what they need to do in order to receive this crown of life. I don't care if you don't even remember who gives the lesson. Just remember the crown of life. Well, we find also that over in Hebrews, the 9th chapter in verse 24, Paul was just matter of fact. Do you not know that all of the runners in a stadium compete? Everybody's running. We used to go, Philip was very fortunate, and hey, me and his mother was very fortunate that he was able to get a scholarship and run for the local college there. And we would go, and it'd have to be 200 or 300, 400 people gathered up there. Not thousands now. We're talking about rural Alabama. But at least, and everyone came to run. When they did the gun, they all started. And of course, in college, it was a 5.5 mile course. I think that's right, wasn't it, Philip? 5.5 miles? Oh, I'm sorry. That's why I asked him. I said, it may be 5 miles. But they didn't all take off, and then there's one standing at the line. I'll be here when they all come back. That don't work. Let me tell you, folks, it don't work. They all have to compete. And whether we like it or not, we're in the race for our spiritual lives right now. We don't have a choice. We're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. Now, you might have heard some people try to gussy that up and, let's don't talk about hell. The Bible's replete with messages about hell. And what it says, I don't want to be there. I don't want to even see it. I want to go to heaven. They all compete. We all compete, but only, now listen, only one receives the prize. So run to win. We're running against the world. We're running against Satan. We're running against all of his henchmen. All of those who have quit running for God and are running for their worldly master. Galatians 2:2. I went there because of a revelation and presented to them the gospel that I did preach among the Gentiles. But I did so only in a private meeting with the influential people to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. You mean the Apostle Paul thought that he could run in vain? Vain, useless, that my race was useless. Now, how would you like to be in that shape, that condition? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to be there and God say, your race was useless. Oh, you thought you were running well? But look, you didn't follow my word. You didn't keep my pattern. You didn't listen to what my word was telling you. Paul said he became all things to all men. He preached to the wealthy. He preached to the middle class. He preached to the dirt poor, to women who were washing their clothes on a bank, beating them against a rock. I'm telling my age. I know that most of you here have never washed clothes on a rug board before. But that was my first coming into contact with washing clothes. And I was the oldest boy. It was only three of us boys, so I wore the apron around the house. I had to tote water. I had to change the water out from the wash water to the rinse water. And I was toting it, I guess, a quarter of a mile or better from our spring out from under a hill. But that was okay. We didn't have electricity till I was in the first grade. I remember the old hurricane lamps. Try getting your letters with that. But anyway, Paul said, I do not want to run in vain. We need to make sure that our race is not in vain. Well, the heavy weight we carry. Again, going back over to Hebrews 10 and 36. Paul said, you need endurance. When these races start out, even in the Olympics, I love to watch the long distance races or the 1500 meters or longer. I would try to pick out the one that was going to win. And it wasn't the first one that started out. Ooh, man, he put some distance between, or she would if it was the women's race, between the pack back here. I try to pick out, well, I think it's going to be number 24. That was usually number sixth or seventh in the race. What happened? As they would circle and circle and circle, number 24 would slowly pass this one. Not spectacularly, but then slowly he would gain and pass this one. And then when it was coming around to the final circle, you could hear the crowd start to murmur and roar. And here 24 was coming up on the one that practically had been leading the whole race and passed him in the final maybe 15 or 20 yards and went across the finish line. Wow! The one that had led the race and everybody thought was going to win didn't win. Folks, I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to be like that. For you need endurance in order to do God's will and so receive the promise. Endurance. Patience. Not giving up. Keeping on, keeping on. Oh, those are words that in our society, we find that most people today don't like to hear. Patience? Man, road rage is a huge killer in our country today. What is road rage? Well, you're sitting there too long. Or you cut me off. I never.